Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
So anyway, I was hoping that I would be able to present to you the final crystallized version of exactly what is going to happen this Friday for Canada Day celebrations based on the findings or the report of the Canada Day subcommittee on Friday. Unfortunately, as you heard, still some things left in the air. Is this on?
So the details are still being worked out.
It's been a bit of a process.
Next Friday, I think we'll all be, I'm sure, surprised at something. Where we are right now is remarkable.
Now maybe we could get into some of the details.
We'll have some more clarity later on. More details to come.
And as participants, it's flexibility and patience. Sometimes our expectations are very scripted.
We'll have to paddle. We're not just going to float across.
So. Just as a warning, it may be that our group is divided into more than one canoe.
We'll take our lead from the nations.
Okay, and more details to come.
There's more meetings that need to take place. The opening ceremonies, we definitely need to still have some more discussions.
Councillor also says some of these things will unfold as they do in the moment.
And I think that's pretty much where we're going to leave it. Fingers crossed, hoping for the best. A Victoria Council return to Canada Day celebrations at Ship Point post-COVID-19. Municipal elections this fall, as I'm sure you are no doubt aware. Two of the individuals who are on the Canada Day subcommittee, of those two, one will overwhelmingly likely to be mayor. Whether it's Stephen Andrew or Marianne Alto, undecided at this time, it'll be up to the electorate. Ben Isett might be running, he might not be running. He says he hasn't ruled it out yet, but he hasn't said that he is running yet. We're at the point now where it's been left so long that even if he does signal his intention to run, it looks like he was unsure, and that might make it difficult for him to recruit more supporters, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll be watching that very carefully. I think he also has that book launch event that was postponed. I think that's occurring this week, unless they've postponed it again. I was watching that carefully because I thought it might be a campaign-style opportunity. I think that's tomorrow night, so I'll be watching that. I want to bring in Mario Canseco with Research Co. They've been polling people across British Columbia in terms of the civic issues that are emerging that will be top of mind for voters this municipal election cycle. Morning, Mario. How you doing?
Morning, Adam. Great to be here with you.
We're trying to hammer out our Canada Day celebrations that we hope will be amazing as of this Friday. Still some uncertainty, though. Uncertainty in terms of the minds of the electorate as well. What are we seeing?
Well, there's definitely a higher rate of concern from residents of British Columbia with housing, homelessness, and poverty. This is similar to what we saw in 2017, 2018. When the pandemic happened, we had more people who expressed concerns about COVID-19 and healthcare. But now, in a way, we're back to the same issue landscape that we had before COVID-19 hit Canada, with people expressing a higher level of concern about housing. And it's also something that is moving away from the urban areas. In the early stages, when we started to see housing climb the charts, it was mostly a Metro Vancouver to a lesser extent Fraser Valley thing. Now, every single region of the province, the island, southern British Columbia, northern British Columbia, and, of course, the lower mainland, all of them believe that this is the number one issue facing the province.
What can municipal councils do about it, though? Because that would be the assumption if it was top of mind for voters, or is it?
Well, what we see here is essentially a scenario where the public is getting desperate with how long it takes to get things done. And we see a high level of support from residents to essentially doing things at a quicker pace. We've all been exposed, regardless of where we live, to endless discussions and endless amendments and, you know, the sessions that go on forever, trying to get something built. And it's definitely taking a toll in the residents who are expecting something to happen with housing, particularly those aged 18 to 34, when they see their councillors having to sit after speaker who is going to talk about how the shadows of a building are going to affect their petunias. You know, it's not the type of situation that they want to see when there's a housing crisis going on. And I think this is why we have the high level of support for specific issues that the councils could deal with, regardless of who gets elected later this year.
We mentioned that 39% of British Columbians rate housing, homelessness, and poverty as their number one concern. That's more than double the closest second place issue. But I'm noticing that second place issue is health care. Again, not really much of a municipal issue, or is it?
No, it's not really a municipal issue. I think what we see here is a level of concern, particularly from the older generation. If you're over 55, you're more likely to be looking at health care as an issue that is of concern. A part of it is COVID-19, but it's also because of the ramifications of the end of the pandemic. We've seen those discussions about all the surgeries that have been postponed and the actual viability of the system in the future. this is the kind of issue that the two levels of government sort of wrestle with. BC government, regardless of who's in power, saying we need more money from the federal government. The federal government saying deal with what we're doing because we're funding it, but we're not going to talk about how you should be running your show. This has been essentially the same situation that we've seen in the federal debates of 2019 and 2021. But it's not something that is lost on people who are worried about what happens in their municipality if healthcare continues to drop.
Now, I know that you were doing this survey in conjunction and in partnership with the Nonprofit Housing Association. So specific policy prescriptions that might help nonprofit housing providers and builders were part of your survey. I have to ask you, though, like I'm reading here, 77% support contributing public land to nonprofit co-op housing, support waiving development cost charges, 67%. Do you think people know what a cost charge is?
I think they know, partly because we've been talking about this for so long.
Yeah.
Especially in a city like Vancouver, where we've seen that the red tape coming out of City Hall has been very, very problematic.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those reasons where we see the level of change in the way we're looking at municipal elections. I think over the past 20 years, people are paying more attention to this. They're more likely to be tuning in into what happens. I remember the election of 2002 where you could barely hear stories about municipal elections. So I think what is happening is the public is growing more concerned about the fact that if they sit out these elections, a lot of things that they want to see in their municipality are not going to happen. We continue to see a lower voter turnout in municipal elections when we compare it to BC elections or federal elections. And that is something that has to change because these are the people who are going to define what our municipality looks like. You know, we're not going to vote on other things. But if we continue to have in places like Langley City a 25% voter turnout, then you're not going to be representing the wishes of the community.
Housing, homelessness, and poverty emerging as top issues for voters heading into BC civic elections this fall. Surely that is true here in Victoria, true in other cities as well. Our guest, Mario Canseco, president of Research Co. Mario, thanks so much for your time as always. Any final thoughts?
Well, we'll see what happens. I think we are bound to have debates where the discussions about how to deal with housing are going to be significant, particularly when we compare it to the elections of the past. And what we see here from the public is the idea that we should be doing things simpler if we want to get people into homes, not complicate them more with red tape.
All right. Mario Canseco, thanks for your time. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Adam.
All right. Bye now. All right, folks, we're going to open up our phone lines now. 250-386-1161, *1070, a free call on your wireless device. Your chance to weigh in on these and other issues that we've discussed on the program. I've also got a pile of text messages I'm going to read to you here. So we've got the beginning. There was Pride over the weekend, massive numbers downtown. We've got, of course, an unfortunate incident with assault still taking place in the downtown core. And again, anyone who saw anything or was a victim of that man who seems to have serially assaulted a number of women in rapid succession with police present in the 1100 block of Douglas Street. That's right near Fort, for those of you who are curious about the block number and might not know it offhand, as well as plans for now. Canada Day, I hope, goes off amazingly well. But the reason that I played that for you today is because they have those meetings in public for a reason. It allows us to judge the process. And now we have the context in terms of where they were 7 days to showtime. You know what? If they pull out an amazing showstopper on Friday, it'll be even more impressive because you'll know that a lot of those details came together at the last minute. If they don't, you'll have context as to what could be done better next time and why those challenges may have contributed for that. They can still hit it out of the park. There's no reason they can't. It's my job, though, to tell you what preparation has and has not been done as of certain dates. And that was as of 7 days to showtime on the 24th day of June. Quick break. Back after this.